one of many groups to visit the Capitol happened this week. The State Teachers Association stopped by.
Yes, I had a number of MSTA teachers here. Most of them were from my district, largely teachers in my district, gave us a real opportunity to sit down and talk about the direction of education. Clearly, some of the teachers are not always comfortable with the education reform measures that we take and the work that we do on school choice. Particularly the rural schools sometimes have concerns about how it might affect them. And so it gives us a real good opportunity to talk about that, to hear what their concerns are, to try to explain to them how these various choices would work and why they're so positive for parents and students in the other states that have already taken some of the steps that we're looking at. I think sometimes they're either not really informed or maybe not fully informed, sometimes even misinformed about what the impacts of some of these measures are and how positive they are, both for parents and for the education measures of children. So I always look forward to those conversations. It concerns me that what they seem to be hearing from administrations just sounds like such a fear of competition. I wonder, you know, whenever we're afraid of competition, what that says about what we really think about how well we're doing. So I always try to remind them that competition always makes it better for the consumers. And the consumers in this case are families and children.
I would imagine one of those measures that they have concerns about is Senate Bill 612.
Yes, and we did spend a number of hours, I think maybe 5 hours that we spent on the floor debating Senate Bill 612. It was largely a filibuster of the bill, and I know Senator Koenig is trying to work with the senators who were filibustering to see if he can figure out specifically what their concerns are and try to address those. I would love to see us advance that. I think it would be one of the most effective ways to give parents, even in rural areas, some opportunities if they believe their children could be better educated in a different environment than just the standard typical environment. We've seen in the states that have done this the longest have as many as maybe 9 or 10% of the student body would actually make choices to do something other than the typical classroom. But for that small percentage, it's been very effective, and in at least one state had 100% satisfaction from parents.
Along the lines of education, the Teen Pact group was here this
week. Yes, well. Yeah, the Teen Pact meets here, I think, every year. I've spoken to that group a number of years, but I did get a visit from a couple of parents, one of whom is a constituent of mine, I guess in the rural sense, a neighbor, and we've known them for years, and we were able to talk a little bit about some of the things that were happening at Teen Pact. They were telling me some of the questions that these young men and young women were asking of the government officials, some directors, department directors, and others that actually come over and speak to them. And they were asking them very hard questions about their personal worldviews, about their faith, about how these things interacted in their service to constituents. I listened to some of those questions and was really impressed with the thoughtfulness of these students. They're mostly home-educated students. I don't think you have to be home-educated to be involved in Teen Pact. You have the flexibility to come up to the Capitol for a week and enjoy that level of education about government and about how government works here in Jefferson City. So it was a great time to meet with those parents. We had prayer together and talked a little bit about how their children were doing and how Teen Pact was going.
For you, well, again, speaking of education, your K through third grade education bill, that's a reading bill, is, I think, on its way to the floor.
One of the most important aspects of education, I think any parent and certainly any teacher would confirm, is teaching a child to read. I've heard it said, and I completely agree, that if you can teach a child to read and then teach them to love to read, you may not have to teach them anything else, because you can learn just about anything in the world that there is to learn by reading. And so those children that at an early age learn how to read, and when you read well, most children enjoy reading because it's an element of discovery, and I think God made us to love discovery. It really introduces them to a brand new world. One state in particular, Mississippi, moved from a really poor performance in reading by implementing a lot of the measures that are in the K through 3 reading bill. They lifted their students to reading almost 100%, over 90% at third grade level when they were in the third grade. And the impact it's had on their performance in Mississippi has been impressive. It's the kind of thing that we need to have in Missouri. I think most of the schools support it. It's going to require specialized programs and education for those who are having difficulty. Those who are suffering from dyslexia are particularly going to benefit from this because they'll be identified earlier, then can be addressed with very specific plans. If we can just make sure that when our children move into fourth grade, they're reading at that fourth grade level, we're going to see some significant positive impacts in Missouri.
There's another measure this week that got a lot of time, and the first time it was on the floor got a lot of time as well, and that's one that would make rather industrial hemp legal in Missouri.
Yes, and that's been an interesting progression. Some of the associations that we belong to as legislators have been talking about industrial hemp, particularly particularly the southern states, for a number of years. And it really is an intriguing thing. Hemp used to be a regular product in this country, and you needed it to make rope. We now make rope out of other substances, so it has kind of fallen off. And because it is a cannabis-related product, it's basically unlawful. So we have to pass laws so that farmers can once again get into hemp production. It's used in manufacturing of automobiles. It's used in all manner of products. And it's my understanding that the plant is one of those, kind of like the peanut was to George Washington Carver, it's one of those plants that you can essentially use everything and make something out of it. So it's a very valuable plant. It's a pilot program. It is supposed to be self-funding, to be determined by the fees that those who want to get into that farming have to pay. It's going to be regulated by the Department of Agriculture, and pretty heavily regulated because of its relationship to the marijuana plant and the substances in that plant. It's one of those things that I think it's good that we're doing a pilot before we go full scale, because it's my understanding that Kentucky, who is the furthest along with hemp production, the biggest surprise to them was the cost of regulation. And hopefully we can learn some things from them and maybe not spend as much on the regulatory environment that we have to build around it. But it will have to be watched and will have to be regulated. Because of the freedom now to grow hemp, there will be those who will want to move it into what may even be more profitable, which would be an illegal drug trade.
Also this week, they're calling it the Raise the Age Bill, but essentially it would say that those who are incarcerated and age 17 are currently tried as adults and jailed as adults, and this would change that.
That's right, and that has been an issue that Senator Wallingford has, I think, has fought for years, is to try to fix that. I've heard lots of testimony on that. It's not always an easy decision when you're talking about what you do with young people who have committed crimes. If they're heinous crimes, they can still be tried as an adult, but in those crimes where rehabilitation really is what is likely to happen, you don't want to put those 17-year-olds in with criminals who are just going to try to make them even more criminal in their behavior. Try to help them understand how they can get away with it instead of what the price is that they'll have to pay societally by continuing into the life of crime. And so this is one way to try to get them out of that population and into a population that is more likely to be thinking about the future and about what their criminal acts may cost them in the future if they don't correct their behavior. So I think this is going to be positive for Missouri. It's going to help us reduce costs because it'll move people out of that expensive environment. It'll help us improve the outcome for our youth. And so I'm pleased that we're able to pass it. I think we'll all be pleased with the results in the years to come.